were talking yesterday, we should see the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not quite sure. This is why such a request from a number of you. But we were meditating on verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we said that it refers to fellowship in the gospel. It's often misquoted as eternal security of the believer. I don't think that the thought here is the eternal security of the believer. The believer is eternally secure according to God's promise, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them how kind of life? Eternal. Eternal means eternal. And they shall never perish, neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, praise the Lord. But the thought here is the fellowship in the gospel which has been started in them by God Himself. And He says that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have been considering signs that precede the coming again of Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 19. We've not finished those signs yet. Isaiah chapter 19. We have noticed that there are three words repeated over and over again in that particular chapter. What are the three words? In that day. And we find them in a number of verses. We find them, as I said, in verse 18, in that day. In verse 19, in that day. In verse 21, in the middle of the verse, in that day. In verse 23, in verse 24, repeat over and over again, in that day. Please look at verse 24. It's a difficult verse to read, and my reading is a bit poor. Let us try and read it again. In that day shall Israel be the third against Egypt, thy right? No. What does it say? With. What does with mean? Not against. So many people have been asking me what is going to be the outcome of the conflict in the Middle East between Arabs and Jews. Who's going to win at the end? Well, the answer to this question is in God's word. As a matter of fact, it is one of the signs. The answer is one of the signs. To precede the coming again of Jesus Christ our Lord. I remember I preached on this verse in a place called Bethlehem Harbor in Michigan. That's what 8 years ago, when things seemed absolutely contrary. And some people questioned it. But this is God's word that is forever established in the heavens. In that day shall Israel be a third, with Egypt and with Assyria. In other words, the outcome is going to be peace. An alliance, even, among those three nations, with Egypt and with Assyria. And you know what happened just recently, when two great men of these two great countries met together, and the eyes of the whole world were focused on the meeting place of those two leaders. Why? The focus, the attention of the world was focused in the Middle East 1900 years ago, when heaven drew near to earth and placed in the lap of earth the greatest gift, God's unspeakable gift, that they would get there. And I believe the time has come when the eyes of the whole world again would be focused and directed to that part of the world because of the coming event. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive it for myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In that day shall Israel be a third with Egypt and with Assyria. Assyria is what we know now as Iraq, Syria, and Transjordan. Iraq, Syria, and Transjordan. Even a blessing in the midst of land, whom the Lord will bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. According to this verse, who is God's people? Don't be afraid. Israel, that's right. I'm going this. And the Lord of hosts has been saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. That's God's word. not my word, God's word. And Assyria, the work of my hand. And Israel, my inheritance. Yes, but we have heard otherwise. Yeah, you've heard right too. You've heard right too. Because Ishmael was just as much Abraham's son as Isaac was, right? That's right. You remember some time ago the people came to the Lord when he was on earth? He asked him, so he gives tribute to Peter of God. And he said, show me a coin. And they did, and he asked him twofold question. To whom is the inscription? And the what? And the picture. There are two sides. There is the picture, and there is inscription. The Middle East, if I might say, a two-faced coin. Ishmael and Isaac. And both are the children of Abraham. Why does he say, blessed be Egypt, my people? Because God's promises are without repentance. Turn with me, please, to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. There's a very interesting incident there. When Abraham was 19 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou first. Now the names of God have meaning. El Shaddai in Hebrew. Shaddai is an Arabic. And Hebrew word Shaddai means strength. I am the Almighty, the All-Strong God. Why? Why didn't say I am the righteous God? Or I am the merciful God, the all-compassionate God. I am the Almighty God. Because he was going to speak to him about something that needed God's power only to perform. He had promised him a son by Sarah. And that son never came until Abraham was 99 years old. By Sarah. Well, what could happen? Had God forgotten his promises? No. But Abraham, 14 years before, had behaved in a way which showed that he was not mature. Be thou, walk thou before me, and be thou perfect, be thou mature. In this chapter, in chapter 16, he did something which showed immaturity. He wanted to help God perform his promise. And he married Hagar at the suggestion of his wife, Sarah. And God gave him a child by Hagar, and he named him Ishmael. Names in the Middle East are very important. They have meaning. Ishmael is made up of two words, again Hebrew and Arabic. Isma means hear or listen. And Eel or Allah means God. Ishmael, Ishmael, God hears. He thought God had heard his prayer and gave him the child. But the Lord had said to him, be, walk thou before me and be thou perfect, be thou mature. And then comes the first prayer recorded in the book of Genesis, or rather in the Holy Testament. It's mentioned in verse 18. Abraham said unto God, chapter 17 and verse 18, Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Why? Did he say, oh, that Ishmael might live? No. He didn't ask for a long life for Ishmael. The most important part of the prayer is before thee. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Because before God, by nature, and I make no apology for that, you and I are dead in sins and trespasses, right? Ye are dead in sins and trespasses by nature. When do you become alive? I become alive when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, because in him was life. And life was the light of men. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You are quickened as you accept him who is our life. Jesus Christ our Lord. So Abraham, with the eye of faith, looked ahead thousands of years and prayed for Ishmael, that he might live before God. The life is three words, the name, life, eternal. Oh, that Israel might live before thee. The Lord said to him, walk thou before me. He prayed for Israel the same thing. Oh, that Israel might live before thee. How did God answer his prayer? No, no. Don't pray for Israel. He has no plan, no place in my plan. The different doctrine. Look at verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. I say it very reverently, there's a play on words here. Ishmael means God hears. As for God hears, I have heard thee. There you are. What tense in the English grammar is has heard? At the present purpose. At the purpose. It's an accomplished fact. I have heard, not I shall see about it. Maybe I will. I have heard it. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. That's God's promise. And God's promises are without repentance. They are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. And friends, this prayer has been answered. I must tell you right away that the Muslim faith is a very, very difficult faith. A decade ago, only 10 years ago, when a Muslim came to Christ, there was a great stir about it. But today, scores in various places are being converted and accepting Christ as their Savior and baptized and receiving the fellowship. I know a number of them. We praise God for what is happening today in the Middle East, which we see with our own eyes and take as a sign, a sure sign, that this prophecy is being fulfilled today, which is a sign that precedes the coming again of Jesus Christ our Lord. I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation. Praise God for what is happening today in the Middle East. But let me in passing again bring out the point. Walk thou before me, and be thou mature. Be thou mature. Don't try to help God what he promised he would bring about. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, we sang, and we praise God we have rich promises in Christ Jesus. Right. The point was brought up by one of these sisters yesterday. What is the order of events? When Christ does come again, he may come again today. We fix no date, no hour. We know that it's in, it's very near. But we know very well that he is coming again. And our brother referred to verses 20 and 21 of Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Our conversation is in heaven. Please refer to Philippians 3, 20 and 21. We have again the sure word of God to assure us of what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our fine body, the body of our humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. All right. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, for he shall come again. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But at the time when you and I are with the Lord in the air, something is going to happen on earth, the great tribulation. I don't believe I'm aware of most of the doctrine, but as I study God's word, I'm aware of the fact that the church will never go through the great tribulation. This is my conviction as I study God's word. Please look up a few references here. Look at 2 Timothy, Thessalonians 2, 1 to 12. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that he be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as for us, as at the day of Christ at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that what was hoped, that he might be revealed in his time. I believe that which was hoped is the presence of the church and the Holy Spirit in the world. When the church is taken up, and the Holy Spirit with the church to meet the Lord in the air, well then, the great tribulation will start in the midst of the week as you study in Daniel. What must you do? We have seen signs that precede the coming again of Jesus Christ. What is your attitude? What should your attitude be? As you heard, we know these things, we heard these things, we know them, they have been recorded in God's Word, and we hear them over and over again. I want to give you one or two verses in 2 Peter 3. The third chapter of 2 Peter. And look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things have been dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Yes. Holy simply means separate unto God. We are a separate people. I stress this fact over and over again. You are saved to live a separated life unto Jesus Christ our Lord. And as the day approaches, as the time comes to an end, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy conversation, a separated life unto Christ? Young people, the tug of the world today is too strong. But we praise God that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In Egypt we have a river called the River Nile, as I told you some time ago. One day I was walking along the shore of the River Nile, the bank of the Nile, and I saw different kinds of ships. I saw a sailing boat. It goes by the wind. Wherever the wind blows, the sail catches the wind and it pushes the sailboat. I saw a rowboat. You row the boat, you work the oars, the boat goes. You stop, the boat stops. But I saw a motorboat. It has a motor in it. It has power in it. The Christian has power in his arm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And it is the more abundant life that is your portion in Christ, the victorious Christian living. And I say this especially because of the difficult times you and I are living in. You are beset with temptations from every side. But we praise God that we have the power in us to live the victorious Christian life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I was reading in Genesis 49 the other day, and I was struck very forcibly by the comment that Jacob, or Israel, as he was about to give up the spirit, said about Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn. He was the firstborn, and as the firstborn, he had three privileges. He was the priest of the family, he was the leader or the king of the family, and he had a double portion because he was the firstborn. But he forfeited all these, because as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 1, he defiled his father's bed, and he lost the three privileges. The priesthood was given to Levi, the kingship was given to Judah, and The birthright was given to the children, to the son of Joseph Manasseh. Friends, for the enjoyment of a season, he lost all his privileges. Samson was a powerful man, but he lost his power because he lowered his standards. He started by lowering his standards. First of all, he wanted to marry a girl which was not an Israelite, not a Jewish. And I can understand the argument he used with his parents. One day he went to his parents and said, Dad, I couldn't look up from the still come until today. I want to marry a girl. Oh, yes. Okay, who is she? Oh, she's so-and-so. Her name is Delilah. But that's not a Jewish name. Oh, you know, I'm going to win her to my race. I want to win her to my God. What if she wins you to her God? Oh, no, I'm strong. You know how strong I am. I am firmly established in the faith. I'm firmly established in the tradition. I cannot be won to other gods. He lowered his standards. And when he was going to visit Delilah one day, he was forbidden by his law not to touch the dead body of the animal. He not only touched the body of the lion, but he ate of the honey thereof. When he started by lowering his standards. And good. Where will he stop? The way of compromise is a one-way road and it leads to a precipice. Is there someone this morning here who is lowering his standards or her standards? Making exceptions? There is no way to stop the exceptions. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, even your reasonable service, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Why? How? As you look to Jesus Christ our Lord, day by day, in fellowship with him. You know, if I am asked to summarize, as a person who doesn't come from the USA originally, if I am asked to summarize the life in the USA, I would summarize it in one word, hurry. If I'm asked to summarize in two words, I would say, hurry, hurry. And if I'm asked to summarize in three words, I would say, hurry, hurry, hurry. Right? I should never forget the experience which I had. The first time I took my ride on the subway in New York City. And I had to get out of 116 uptown, Columbia University. I literally stood at the top of the stairs and looked and saw the sea of people rushing at me. I said, there's something wrong with anybody here. But later on, I thought something wrong with me too. I was rushing the same way they were rushing. I'm afraid we are just pushed, stretched our feet, up our feet. There's no time with fellowship with the Lord. Martha, Martha, you are troubled for so many things. And don't be hard on Martha, please. You're being very hard on her. At that time, how many people had tea for lunch or supper? At least 13 people. How do we know? The Lord Jesus and your disciples. And she and her sister, how would you like to spend lunch for 15 years? She was really troubled. She was really troubled. And brother and sister, I don't know. I don't know. Don't let anything in the world rob you of the pleasure and the privilege and the joy of fellowship with the Lord day by day. The public last Sunday at the Assembly in Nashville. On 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He ought to be born again. Be born again anew, new creation. And we said that our steps in the new creation, and God has stepped in the old creation. What was the thing that God created on the first day? Light. Let there be light. And so it is with you. It is nothing that you can do whereby you can be saved. It's the grace of God alone. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works that any man should love. The work of God. And if there be anyone this morning here who is not being born again, here is the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let there be life. Let there be light. I pointed out the cry of the ages, mentioned in Psalm 118, and verse 19. Open unto me the gate of right. As if there are gates in the full of sin. There are no gates for right. Men have made gates. Prayer, almsgiving, going to church, fasting, doing all these things. These are gates, man-made only. Man-made gates. And the answer comes in verse 20. This gate is the singular form of the Lord. It's only one gate. Only one gate through faith in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yes. But what did God speak on the second day? The firmament expands and said three times, let it divide. In other words, God on the second day created division. There must be a division. There must be a separation. I'm a separate people. I'm a separate man. I live separately unto Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Lord. Anything that is not in accordance with God's will is not for me. You know, some time ago, when I was in Lebanon, I bought a new tape recorder. Simon was using really great tape recorder. It was a beautiful tape recorder, podcast. Oh, I was so proud of it. One of my brothers came for me to visit me in Lebanon, and I wanted to show him the beautiful tape recorder I had bought. Came for me, this is made for me. Look at this tape recorder. And I started to brag about the tape recorder, and I wanted to show my work with the tape. Then they heard the bubble. Didn't work. Oh, I'm no technician. I'm absolutely innocent technician. This is a brain. And then I started to show him how to work. I could do it. No sound, nothing at all. It was one of those beautiful tapes that we showed. But no noise. No sound. Nothing at all. And then I started to question. What happened? He said, maybe there's something wrong with that. Maybe there's definitely something wrong with that. And of course, I blamed it on my son. My son was only 2 years old. He played with everything. He said, oh, this son of mine, he must have poison. Which I'm still talking all the time. But looking behind, I found the reason. I forgot the blood of him. He was not hurt. And oh, was I ashamed of myself. Was I ashamed of myself? Brother, sister, are you plugged in? Is there a direct touch with the Lord day by day? Is the power flowing through you? Yes, we are saved to live a separate life unto Christ. Anything that stops the touch with the Lord, however trivial it may be, however insignificant it may be, called by its name, sin. Sin has to be dealt with. We have God's promise. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, what should you and you be? Fellowship with the Lord, being in the center of God's will, day by day. And more of the time, as the Lord enables us. Thank you.
He's plugged in.
Let's stand and sing together. One verse of 392. 392. The rock we stand on is Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Thank you.
much in regard to sports because you can see it. Now for the third message this morning. Of course, we'll be participating very shortly. I'd like to see you guys stay young, in better shape, to, you know, live the way you should, and get out there and just really enjoy it. All right. But the reason we're here to make an announcement is in regards to a film we're going to show tonight to the adults. And our brother has been bringing some vivid, pretty beautiful messages, and I'm so sorry I missed out on all of them. But anyhow, it's a new film, and how many of you saw Season of the Night? Raise your hand. All right, quite a few. Most of you saw Season of the Night. If you haven't seen that, it's been viewed by 3 million people already. It happened to be a friend of mine who got converted in Hollywood. He's a producer. He's in the Mark IV films and Heartland films in Des Moines, Iowa. They put out quite a few films, which are beautiful films. We have brought down with us a film that hasn't been viewed in the South yet, anyhow, called Distant Thunder. And it takes off from where the thief of the night left. And this has to do with the tribulation. I say this without any reservation. When you view this film, it really brings before you vividly about the tribulation and what is going to happen immediately after the Lord takes. And there is some questionable things in it in regards to, if you have listened to the gospel once before, where you have another chance. But there's no question about the church. But I just want to read one verse that they bring out very vividly because I know the people who own it. And they kind of leave this found in 2 Thessalonians. It says in the 2nd chapter, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them, that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a deluding influence, that they should believe a lie. Brought out very vividly in this film, though, that this lie will be told, and of course many will believe. But I do want you to look at it, and it will be shown tonight in the adults in the dining hall. And so make preparations to stay tonight. It's 70 minutes old. Beautiful film. Shall we pray our Father? How can we thank thee for re-sharing thy glory with us? Glory to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ has with thee before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Never let him share for all eternity. But now in this time between, our Father, help us not to endure our salvation, but to enjoy our salvation. Help us not to be just a bogus work. Help us, our loving Father, in each one of our heavens and our life, to really be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now and help us and keep us from all harm and danger. Yeah, I'm not kidding.